Good morning, everyone. It's a privilege to be with you all. Thanks for the opportunity to join you in worshiping this morning. I don't have anything to say to you this morning other than what is written in this book. So if you have your Bible on me, open up with me to Luke chapter 9. Feel free to use your table of contents if you need help finding Luke chapter 9. But open up with me there. What do you most desire? What is the one thing in your life that you most desire today? Let me share with you one of my larger desires. It's been seemingly an all-encompassing desire that I've had over the last few months and now leading up to 3 weeks ago when I became engaged. 3 weeks ago, I got down on one knee and asked my then-girlfriend at the time, Kelsey, to become my fiancé and lead up to marry me. And to everyone's surprise, she said yes. This was a desire, let me tell you, that came at a cost. Because being a seminary student, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but being a seminary student doesn't pay very well, particularly. And getting engaged, you have to put something on her hand that seemingly costs a lot of money. So on one end, I'm not making anything. On the next end, I'm expecting to buy something that costs much. There was something needed to break there. But this was a desire that I had. I had a desire to get engaged to Kelsey. So I was willing to do whatever it took to raise enough money to fulfill that desire. And I would go to pretty extreme measures. I remember 1 week after depositing the amount that I wanted to save on a weekly basis into my savings account, I looked at my checking account and I had $4.53. And I needed to do things like eat, and so that made it very difficult. So what I did with that $4.53, I had a week to go before I got paid again, and I was like, all right, we can make this happen. This is worth it after all. This is going towards the engagement ring. So what I did is I actually remembered that I had, in the back of my closet, I had bought like this frying pan from Walmart that I didn't end up using. I still had the receipt in the bag for it. So I was like, perfect, that's like another $4. So I went to Walmart, I returned the pan, I had like $9 to my name, and I loaded up on ramen noodles for the week. Maybe not the most nutritious meal that I could possibly consume, but the point is I made it. And I was able to, through that desire, sacrifice enough to get to the place where I was able to satisfy that desire. The question that I have for you this morning is, do you have a desire for Jesus that you are willing to sacrifice everything for? Even greater than my desire to buy an engagement ring, do we have a desire for Jesus Christ that nothing will be too large of a sacrifice to gain? Because as we come to the text this morning, as we come to the Word this morning, Jesus calls us to have an all-encompassing desire for Him. We're really going to lean into two verses of Scripture this morning. Two verses of Scripture. And these verses are somewhat simple, but they are eternally significant. If received, and I mean if received, they demand to affect every aspect and portion of your life. The title of this morning's message is A Desire That Defies Death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in you this morning. God, we are joyful, God, that we have the opportunity to come before your word, to hear from you. Lord, we don't come around to sing a few songs and hear a few words. God, we come to meet with the God of the universe, the one who has created us, the one who formed us, the one who knows us intimately, and the one who desires us for himself. God, we thank you, Lord. We pray that you would just remove anything in our lives that would keep us from hearing the word. Would you break down any strongholds, any hurdles that would keep us from rightly knowing you? God, allow us to see you fully and respond to you obediently. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So it's going to be fairly simple this morning. I want to show you, from this word, I want to show you one essential question, followed by three extreme commands, followed by two eternal conditions. So first I want to show you one essential question. We're going to be looking at verses 23 and 24 in Luke 9. So let me read the text and follow along with me if you're in there. So Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So one essential question for each of us in this room this morning, that question is, do you desire to follow Jesus? One essential question, do you desire to follow Jesus? Because as we come to this place in the Word, Jesus is asking this question to these individuals who are surrounding him. Jesus comes and he says this, he said to them all, if anyone would come after me. And what that literally means in the language of the New Testament, what Jesus is asking them is if they have the desire to come after him. He's literally asking if they have the desire to give up everything they have to come after him. And this is somewhat almost insulting if you really take it at face value for what's going on in Luke chapter 9. Because much has happened in the life and journey of Christ at this point. In fact, the people who are surrounding Jesus at this point in the story, they've given up much to follow him already. When you think about it, we're 9 chapters into Luke. Luke is recounting the story of Jesus. He's already been on the scene. Jesus has already called many of these men to follow him, many of which who have left everything to follow him. You remember the story of Jesus calling Peter and Simon in the boat. What do? They leave their nets in the boat. They leave their father in the boat. They leave everything to follow him. So Jesus has quite a following. There's 12 guys surrounding him in the immediate text. But there are thousands more who are beginning to follow Jesus at this time. All of which are giving something to come to him. But Jesus is really specific here. He's really clear. He wants to be very candid that he is making sure that these people are following Jesus because they want Jesus. Because here's the deal. Here's the difference. Many people at this time were following Jesus just because he was claimed to be the Messiah. What they thought was Jesus was going to deliver them from the Roman Empire. That Jesus was going to deliver them from this captivity. Many others just wanted to see some miracles. You know, Jesus was wandering around and calming waves and casting out demons. Many people were along for the ride just seeing what Jesus would do next. Even more were coming along to be fed. Jesus was often multiplying fish and bread and feeding masses. Some just wanted to be near Jesus to increase their reputation, to increase their comfort, and to increase their status, even in a religious sense. But Jesus turns to them. Jesus turns to them at this point because he's about to go to a cross. And he wants to make sure that they are not following him for the things he brings and the things he does. Jesus wants to make painfully clear that they are following him for himself. That they would follow Jesus for Jesus and not just for what Jesus brings or what Jesus does. And really this morning, we can come to this word in a similar place. We can come to this word in a very similar place. Because, let's face it, we all, if you are in this room this morning, we have all given up something to be here. Right? I mean, we didn't all just show up on the scene and decide to spend an hour of our Sunday morning like this, or an hour and a half or 2 hours, but we'll keep it at an hour. We have all sacrificed something to be here. And this isn't just isolated to this Sunday. Many of us in this room have given up things over a series of years to be near Jesus. So we are really not that different from the people that Jesus is speaking to in Luke chapter 9. We are a religious people. We are people who have given up things. But Jesus would come to us this morning to make sure this, that we desire him for who he is. Do you desire Jesus? Not what Jesus gives, not what Jesus brings, not the family that Jesus gives you and the comfort that he surrounds you in, not the good feelings and the good vibes that you get at being a worship service. Do you desire Jesus for who he is? Do you desire him enough to follow him? I'm not asking if you desire him enough to call yourself a Christian. I'm not asking if you desire him enough to do Christian things or read the Bible or even pray. I'm not asking if you desire him enough to go to Chick-fil-A. I'm asking if you desire him enough to be a follower of Jesus. Many of you might ask the question, why? Why would I desire Jesus with a desire that I'm willing to give up all other things in this world to attain? Well, you should desire Jesus because Jesus alone can satisfy your greatest need. And what is that greatest need? Apart from Christ, we are all bankrupt of life and destined for eternity apart from God. The scripture is clear that we were all created in the image of God. God created each and every one of us in this room to know Him, to walk with Him, to be found in the image of God, to be in a perfect and obedient relationship with Him. And in the Garden of Eden, going back to Genesis, you see how glorious this is. Man, woman, walking with God in perfect harmony. But what happened? Sin entered the world. We likely know the story. We've heard the story. We know the reality of sin. But let's listen to it carefully this morning. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says that for the wages of sin is death. So this is the reality for each and every one of us in this room. We have sinned and we deserve eternal separation and judgment from God. But God does not leave us to our own sin. God does not leave us to wander through this life destined to eternity apart from Him. God loves us. God loves you enough to pursue you through Jesus. And even when Jesus comes onto the scene at the beginning of Luke, this is sort of Jesus' job description. He walks into a synagogue in Luke chapter 4. He opens up a scroll and he reads to the people. And this is what Jesus says that He came to do. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So why should you desire Jesus this morning? It's because you are poor and you need good news. It's because you are captive to sin and Satan, but Jesus has come to proclaim liberty. It's because you are blind, and Jesus has come to give sight. It's because you are oppressed, and Jesus has come to set you free. And that's the good news of the gospel. To any who would receive Christ, to anyone who would turn from their sin and trust in Jesus, He immediately does that. He makes sin untrue. He takes sin upon Himself. Your sin upon Himself, leaving you in His righteousness. So this is the reason you should desire Him. You should desire Jesus because He alone can satisfy this requirement for your sin. No one else in the history of humanity has been able to claim to forgive sin and back up that reality. No other religion, no other world religion, no other worldview, no other ideal can remove sin. And if there is a sin problem, which there is, only Christ can remove it. So I would imagine in this room, if I asked you the question, do you desire Jesus above everything else? I mean, above everything. I'm sure many of you in this room would say, "Gary, yes, I do. I really do. I'm not perfect, but as I look back in my life and I can see moments that my desire for Christ increased and I really responded to Christ." Maybe others in this room would be where I was 5 years ago. And would have to answer that question, if you're honest, no. No, I don't desire Christ like that. Sure, I desire to be a good person. I desire to go to church. I desire religion. I desire some of those things. But do I desire Christ willing to abandon everything? 5 years ago, I said no to that question. And I'm sure some of us are here in this room this morning like that. And if that's you, let me invite you to hold on for a second. Let me invite you to sit aside for a second. And don't tune me out entirely, but I'm going to specifically be speaking to the followers of Jesus in this room now. Because what Christ is asking here, and what He's calling us here, is three extreme commands to anyone who would desire Jesus. And Jesus breaks those down in Luke 9:23. So for anyone who would desire Christ and to follow Him, this is what discipleship 101 looks like. Three extreme commands. They come out of verse 23. After He says, if anyone would desire to come after Me, He says, let him deny himself. So command number one, you desire Jesus. Command number one, abandon your comfort. So Jesus says, let him deny himself if they desire to come after Me. Jesus calls us to abandon our comfort. So what's going on here? Jesus realizes that the people in this day, the people who are following him, that Jesus is on a road that is void of comfort. It's void of earthly comfort. It's high on eternal comfort. But the road in front of Jesus at this point, comfort is not to be expected. Pretty soon in Luke 9:51, Jesus is going to come to a place where the text says he sets his face to go to Jerusalem. At this point in the story, Jesus is on his road to a cross. Jesus knows that there's no comfort ahead for those who would follow him. So he commands them to abandon their comfort, to deny themselves. And we need to hear this word this morning. Because maybe more than any other culture in any other time, we're Americans after all. We love our comfort and we love our rights. When you think about it, we are inundated with comfort in this world. We are inundated with the opportunity to pamper ourselves at every turn. Even yesterday, I moved down to my new apartment near NC State where I live. And I was needing some essentials, some household essentials, and so I Googled, where is the closest Target? And it was like 15 minutes away. And then I turned around and Googled, where is the closest Walmart? And it was another like 10 minutes away. And I saw that there was the Kmart option, but no offense to anyone who enjoys Kmart. It's a great place. But I was thinking I'd go to Target. And it sort of perturbed me. I was like, can you believe I have to drive in 2016 in Raleigh, like 15 minutes to get to Target? But that's the mantra of today. This is the mantra of today. We need our comfort and we need it quickly. And in a world that seeks to pamper ourselves and protect ourselves, Jesus says here, abandon yourself. He says to deny yourself. So if you are a follower of Jesus, if you desire Jesus, I have to ask you the question, to what has he called you to abandon? What are the moments in your life that you have had to abandon things to gain him? Because the call of Christ is not an easy believism where we just add Jesus on top and everything else stays the same in our life. To follow Jesus means that our lives are fundamentally uprooted and everything changes. As if that wasn't extreme enough, Jesus continues. Second command. He says, first, abandon your comfort. Second, embrace your cross. It's in verse 23. What does he say? He says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Take up a cross. I mean, we're in 2016. We have respect for the cross. We have reverence for the cross. We wear cross jewelry. We even put crosses on buildings. And this is all good and necessary as we reflect on what Jesus did on the cross. But if you're in this time, if Jesus says to you at this time, in this context, to pick up your cross, that's a horrifying picture. The cross was an instrument of torture and death. For Jesus to command you to pick up the cross, there was nothing more gruesome, nothing more detested, nothing more hated in that time than the cross. So what Jesus is calling for anyone who would follow him is to pick up an instrument of torture and death in Luke 9:23. But what's going on here? Is Jesus talking about a physical cross? No, he's not talking about a physical cross. Although some people he was talking to there would later go on to be crucified for the faith. What he's talking about is more of a metaphor. It's metaphorical language because he says, take up your cross daily. The word daily there is very fundamental. Because you don't take up your cross one day, be crucified, and then go on the next day to take up a new cross. Only one person took up a cross and lived to talk about it. Everyone else, not talking about it. So the whole call here is not just to form some kind of masochistic desire where we just desire to inflict pain upon ourselves. No, Jesus is not just calling us to embrace a cross to harm us. He's calling us to embrace a cross to help us. This is the most loving thing Jesus could do. Because when he's calling you to a cross, he's calling you to a mission. This is the whole idea. To embrace a cross is to take up the mission of God. Jesus' mission was to take the cross, to satisfy the payment for our sin. And his call for anyone who would follow him is to follow after him in the same mission of advancing the gospel in all the earth. Jesus' call to his first disciples was what? He said, come follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. So there is no Christianity without mission. It's a contradiction. The idea of being in Christ and following Him is taking the cross and taking the mission of God into a lost and dying world. Which essentially means if we're going to follow Christ, we need to be willing and eager to share the gospel at great cost to ourselves. The idea of a Christianity that does not cost us is not Christianity in the Bible. There is great cost. 2 Timothy 3:12 says that anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So if you would answer again, yes, that you desire Christ, I would ask you the question, what cross are you carrying? What are the things that you have had to sacrifice to advance the gospel in this world? Let's be asking that question and being obedient to the answer. So first command, we are to abandon our comfort. Second command, embrace a cross. Third command, follow your Christ. The third command that Jesus gives is follow your Christ. Follow the Christ. And this is the glory of these commands. Is what the desire begins as, Jesus ultimately leads us to delight in. Jesus does not call us to anything away from Himself. The idea of abandoning self, taking a cross, is because that is the path ultimately to Jesus Himself. Because He says, deny yourself, take a cross, and do what? Verse 23, follow Me. So Jesus is not calling us to more religion. Jesus is not calling us to do more good things. Jesus is ultimately calling us to Himself. And this is the beautiful reality of Christianity. So we've seen one essential question, three extreme commands. Jesus sets this to the backdrop of two eternal conditions. In verse 24, Jesus sets this to the backdrop of two eternal conditions. Because what Jesus wants this people to do at this time is to lift their eyes from the temporal to the eternal. What Jesus is calling for here, He's trying to challenge His disciples to lift their eyes past today and set them on what would last forever. Verse 24, what does He say? He says, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. So this is the reality for everyone in this room. We will, for all of eternity, every person in this room, be in one of two positions. One of two conditions. Condition number one. You will look back 100 years from now and 100 million years from now and realize this. If you saved your life, you will have lost it. Jesus says here, if anyone desires to come after Me, and in verse 24, for whoever would save his life will lose it. Jesus' call here is saying, if you desire to save your life, so if you desire to protect your life, if you desire to pamper it, if you desire to keep your life so close to yourself that you're not willing to lose things for Christ, Jesus says that by protecting your life and saving your life, you will lose your life. We can't follow Christ and not abandon ourselves. And so Christ wants us to look to eternity and realize that we forevermore will look back in regret protecting our life. If we seek to pamper ourselves and give ourselves comfort and not follow Jesus in this world, we will look back for eternity and regret it. But on the other side, for all those who are in Christ in this room today, if you follow Christ as the Word has called us to, you will look back and not regret saving your life. This will be your reality. You will realize if you lost your life, you will have saved it. That's what He says at the end of verse 24. He says, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. And this is the great news of the gospel. Yes, to follow Christ, you must abandon comfort and embrace cross. But for eternity, future, you will look back realizing that that was the greatest thing that you have ever done. Yes, there would have been cost in this world. Yes, you might have been suffering from some sort of persecution or some sort of pushback from the culture that surrounds us as you seek to follow Jesus. But you will look back on that day and forevermore with no regret. You will say that you lost your life, but through it, Christ saved your life. So I would ask you the question, where are you at with all of this? I mentioned that earlier I've had a growing desire to get engaged and be married. 4.5 years ago, I had a different desire. 4.5 years ago, when I was at Kansas State University as a college student there in my fraternity, God began to awake a new desire for himself. Just so you know a little bit about me, I didn't grow up with much of a spiritual background. I didn't grow up primarily in the church. I had a reverence for God, but I didn't follow Jesus, and I didn't know what it meant to follow Christ. I didn't seek to read his word or obey him or to seek him. And when I went to college, I certainly wasn't looking to do that. When I went to college, I pledged a fraternity and was just really looking to live up the college lifestyle for all it was worth. And as I did that for a couple of years, really just pursuing my sin, giving my life to my sin, it was in that moment that I had everything that I wanted, that I was actually left as broken as I had ever been. But it was at that point that God brought into my life a man named Drew, who pursued me with the gospel, who shared the gospel to me, who built a friendship with me. And Drew challenged me to do one thing as I started to really investigate Christ. He challenged me, hey, memorize 2 verses. I was like, all right, Drew, I can do that. I can memorize 2 verses. I said, what verses do you want me to memorize? And he opened the book to Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And so I wrote these verses down on a note card. And for a month, these verses reverberated through my brain. I wrote it on a note card, and as I walked to class, I would pull out my note card and look at these verses. As I walked back from class, as I was in between class and activities, in the line, doing whatever, I was pulling this verse out continually and reading it. And just asking myself the question, do I desire Jesus like this? And through that, God awakened my heart to an answer that would change everything. And that answer was, yes. So in that moment, 4.5 years ago, on the porch of my fraternity, I turned from my sin and trusted in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And it changed everything. I lived in a house with about 80 other guys, all of whom I was pursuing my sin with before, and now I had the opportunity to pursue them with the Savior. I was still good friends with them. I still loved them and respected them entirely, even loved them and respected them more. But I turned around and I began to build friendships and share what Christ had done in my life, the free gift of salvation that was available. And let me promise you, it required me to abandon my comfort, to embrace a cross. There was much pushback that came. But at the same time, what it left me with was following my Christ, which was a joy and a treasure that this world could not buy, which is what ultimately has led me to seminary today. But that's my story. I'd ask you the question, what is your story? What is your story? Where are you at in the spiritual journey? If you are in Christ, I celebrate with that with you this morning. If you are not in Christ today, I would say that you're exactly where I was 4.5 years ago, and I'm excited and encouraged that you're here. So let's continue to examine the Savior and ultimately find that he's worth submitting everything to. So my desire for my fiance in marriage has cost me much. But the call of Christ costs even more. May God give us the grace to receive this call for his glory. And as I pray, and as we close with song, I'll be eager to talk and pray with any of you who are on your spiritual journey and answer any questions that you might have. So let's pray. Eternal God, we can't do any of this without you. Lord, you must awaken our hearts to desire you. God, you must call us. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what is lost. And so, God, I pray that you would just seek and save, God. Lord, if you haven't, Lord, I pray that you would just pursue us, Lord, with the gospel. Give us the grace to hear your voice and the grace to respond to your voice. God, we love you. We worship you. And it's by your grace and for your glory that we pray. Amen.